Hello, and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Dame Rich Mando. This is the show where we talk about the movies or films that we forgot we'd even seen in the first place. And I'm joined as ever by my co-host, Mr. Joe Devine.
Hello, my name's Joe Devine.
Sorry.
Joe Devino.
Doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't really work. Joe Devino sounds like Joe the Rhino,
yeah.
You know, which I don't mind.
Joe the Wino.
Which, yeah.
You know, it's ironic because you don't really drink anymore, do you?
Well, and if I did, I wouldn't drink like a wino drinks, you know, bloody winos all over the place.
Yeah.
Jesus, you can't move for winos in this city, you know. Can I tell you, I think I've realised in my 35th year of life what my favourite line in a film is ever to do an impression of. I told you, didn't I, that I went to see oh my god, what's it called, the film I went to see it on Christmas Eve, you know, the Ghosts of Christmas Past story with Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life, the famous line where Jimmy Stewart says to, what's the woman that's in that, oh, Donna Reed playing Mary, he says, what does she want, Mary, you want the moon? You want the moon? I'll throw a lash up there and bring it down for you. Like, that's the famous line. But I always, whenever I get there, I think, oh, it's the lassoing the moon line. And that, but then she says, her response to him is, I'll take it. In this bizarre sort of transatlantic way. I'll take it. You know? And I think since December the 24th, I've just probably once a day, I've said, what is it you want? Do you want the moon? I'll take it. Just to myself, in the kitchen, around the house.
He lays it on really thick, I think, when he's... It's like, slow down, mate. It's... You don't need...
Yeah.
Also, just, why would you... You can't do that.
You can't actually do that.
Yeah. What is
That's
this?
What I would have said if I was her. I would have been like, geez, chill out, creep. You know?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of nice guys. What about that guy in the town who does the... Hee-haw, hee-haw. The donkey impression. I'll go out with him. Harry. He seems to be fine. He's making a lot of money. What are you? You're making promises you can't keep already. It's only our first date.
Yeah, you sound insane. And I think later on, I worry that you're going to have some kind of breakdown where you get visited by an angel. And that's the thing that's going to stop you from killing yourself. And we're going to have children. And I worry about that. I think about, as a woman, I worry about this. This, you seem like the kind of man that this thing might happen to. This is not a usual episode. This is an Oscars special. We're not going to say too much about what we think about the Oscars. I know I'm not, because Joe's...
You're not. You're banned.
I'm banned. Yeah. But people want to know what we think about what is up for noms and what we like and what we think will win and what we want to win.
Do you know, you're getting better at hosting every year, I think. Every year we do this podcast, I just think this guy's he's really getting a handle on it, you know, even more and more.
Before we get into the categories, and we're just, all we're going to do is director, film... original screenplay, adapted screenplay, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, and casting. That's all we're going to do.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I've got a big question for Joe about...
A big question?
...the Oscars. And the only reason I ask this and it came to mind is because just before we started to record, I cleaned off Train Dreams.
Right.
Tick. And I was like, just in, swirling in my subconscious was... the other films that were also nominated. And I was thinking, like, the films that are nominated for Oscars are also the films that are effectively also big in culture and have hit big with audiences. You very, very rarely will get a film that has been ignored by, you know, the people. Yeah, everyone's heard of the films.
They're often the middle of the Venn diagram between, like, critically liked but also... publicly liked, right? You don't tend to get too many critically adored but people didn't like them films. They win the other things, not the Oscars.
So with that in mind, what do you think these films speak about the cultural and like social temperament of the minute?
That's very interesting. I would say a couple of things when I look at this list, and I'm just to be clear, I'm looking at the Best Picture list. So included within this is Bugonia, Frankenstein, F1, Hamnet, Marty Supreme,
F1.
One battle after another.
F1. 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 Come on. Joe,
I haven't seen F1.
Say it louder. F1. You know everything about F1. You don't need to have seen it.
The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners and Train Dreams. So there's a couple of things I think. One, there's a sort of surprising number of films on this list that are not set in America and are not based around American characters. So I think that's interesting. Hamnet is one of them. The Secret Agent, obviously, Sentimental Value isn't really set there. Obviously, F1 isn't set in America either, although I'm sure
it's the most American movie. That doesn't count. That's the most American movie.
It does count because it's not about American history, is it? It's about European history if it's about Formula One.
No, because the lead character is Brad Pitt. It's all about American history. It's the most American movie. I know what you're saying. Stretch.
Frankenstein also is an old world story.
Yep.
Old world movie. Yeah, that counts. So half the list, I would say, is not like either about or set in America. And as far as the other half of the list is concerned, those films, if you were to interpret them to be about America, Bugonia is looking at the darker side of the culture, for sure. Sinners is looking at the darker side of the history of the culture. I think Train Dreams also is looking at one could make an argument that it's looking at the darker side of the culture in a couple of different ways. One, in a kind of sociopolitical of the time way, but also very introspective. One Battle After Another is obviously very much definitely doing that. Marty Supreme is a bit different. I think it is still looking at like a slightly toxic side of the culture, but it's doing it through an interesting lens. And then the final thing I would say is that from the perspective of the lens of all of these films, I don't think this is specific to this year. I think it's specific to this era. But if you were to look at this list 30, 40 years ago, you would find a number of films that weren't anywhere near as introspective or weren't anywhere near as much in dealings with the internal, the inside of people's minds, what's happening for them, what they're thinking, what they're feeling, those sorts of things. So it's kind of an introspective list on the whole as well. What do you think? You've asked the question. You clearly have an answer.
I think in the main, the big ones, the Mighty Supremes and One Battle After Another's and the Sinners of this world, who are the kind of the ones who are really, you know, going for it. I think you've spoken about all the list. And the Oscars have widened the number of best film just to appease a lot of people. And I would ignore those. Like Bugonia, F1, Frankenstein, Secret Agent and probably Train Dreams wouldn't be anywhere near this list. On best film, it would just be Mighty Supreme, One Battle After Another, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and what have I said? And Hamnet. Yeah, there. Those would be the five. I haven't seen The Secret Agent yet. I can't wait to see it. Comes out next week. That's not a slam on The Secret Agent.
It's a Brazilian film, right?
Yeah. And I love Sentimental Value, but I don't, did I say Sentimental Value? Yeah, Sentimental.
You included that in the five.
I loved Bugonia. It wouldn't get on that list because people wouldn't. So
it's there because it's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos.
It's there because it deserves to be. It's a really good movie. I'm going to be really pushing for Bugonia. Spoiler alert. But I think those movies that I've said are all very, very obvious, very mainstream movies. There's nothing surprising in there. I'm not surprised about that. These are in contention. I think maybe the most surprising would be Marty Supreme, given like Josh Safdie's level as a filmmaker in comparison to P.T. Anderson, who's been knocking about for like maybe even like 30 years. But everything else, like the content of those movies, you know, having just seen Train Dreams, you know, this is same old, same old.
So, I mean, right, yeah. I could have told you beforehand, Train Dreams isn't a film for you, but...
No, I liked it. I like Train Dreams.
Oh, you liked it? Yeah.
No, but it's same old, same old. It's like, yeah, I've seen Terrence Malick. Ooh, I like Magic Hour. Ooh, I like sentimental movies. It's just like, sorry. Sorry.
But when people say that, like, what, you know, that, oh, this is a bit derivative, or like, you know, I've seen this all before, there's nothing new here. Like, what was the last thing you watched that you think is new?
Begonia.
Come on, man. Like, there's nothing new in Begonia. There's literally nothing new in that film. But in fact, that's older than many of the other films on this list, Begonia.
Listen,
what's new in Begonia that wasn't in another Yorgos Lanthimos film, you know?
It felt new. Like, well, I was watching it and it felt new. Watching Train Dreams, the first hour, I was quite compelled by and intrigued. It was beautiful. But at some point, the film just completely lost me. And I felt like the filmmaker, Clint Bentley, he kept trying to find the interesting shot for every single thing. And I just thought, I don't think you've got any control over what you're doing. You just want to find interesting shots, and they're not interesting just because, you know, you've decided to frame the, like, not go close up to the actors at all and just frame the camera up really, really high and shoot it like this. It just felt like empty to me, and it didn't make me feel anything. And
this is going to be a fun podcast. I don't want to foreshadow too much, but I think you should hold off and we'll have this conversation again.
You did say safe train chips. You did ask me. So, right. Mm-hmm. That was my big question. I've already put us into the weeds.
That's all good.
Here we go. Let's do it. We're going to go through each category. We're going to say the film we think will win.
And the film we want to win.
Yeah. And which order should we do it every time?
I think we should go think first. And we should both do our think. I've also got the odds up as well, so that we can look at this moment in time what's most likely to win. Can I recommend an order?
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
So I think we should start. I mean, you've got to do it like the Oscars does. So obviously we'll finish on best picture. And just before that comes best actor and actress. Just before that comes best director, right? Although maybe sometimes they do them the other way around. Is it best director sometimes comes penultimate? Let's get best casting out of the way, because best casting is the new award that is available on offer this year. It's a first-time debutante award. Now, I can tell you that the nominations for best casting are as follows. Let me just...
I know this. Can I say?
Yeah. You know it? You want to say? Yeah, go ahead.
It's Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, and Sinners.
That is right. Yeah, that's correct.
This is a tough one because, think, we don't necessarily know what criteria people are voting on this.
Think is... It is tricky. I mean, the odds say something specifically... I didn't know what to think here. So I looked at the films first. I had a thought, and then I checked the odds, and the odds were very different to what I had considered. My original thought was that One Battle After Another, as an easy shoo-in, might be the winner here, because I think that film is likely to win Best Picture. That I think that's pretty uncontroversial to say. And I wonder if in future years, maybe not this year, we'll see a world where the Best Picture winner also wins Best Casting, because it's got all the best actors in, whatever, you know, like a kind of easy pickings.
So you're foreshadowing your prediction for later on in the episode?
So I think the thing to hold on to here for the audience is what I want to win as opposed to what I think will win. And also there are some examples where in the case of Best Picture, it's not a cliffhanger to wait to hear me say I think One Battle After Another is going to win that. I think everybody who's paid any attention knows that film is the front runner, is the favorite. So I wouldn't consider that like too damaging to the structural integrity of the episode. However, you should hold on to your think, because I feel as though your think is going to be different to mine.
I think One Battle After Another will win, because if you look at it, the cast that they've got, it's not just the headline cast. They've got all the kind of the non-actors in there as well.
When their enemy resurfaces after 16 years, a group of ex-revolutionaries reunite to rescue the daughter of one of their own, Adam.
So that's what we think. But okay, so more interestingly is, what do you want to win? And then like why, what, this will get into what you think best casting should sort of speak to.
What I want to win is sentimental value, which isn't nominated. And I think that's kind of hilarious. For the large reason that every actor in the film is very, very good. And the sort of secondary reason, which is also quite funny, that all the four acting categories that we're going to talk about today have a nominee from this film. So best actor, best actress, best supporting in both. There is an actor from this film nominated. It's bizarre that it's not nominated for casting, because I don't know what else is required of a film.
What, everyone else? So
everyone else. I mean, there's not that many others. Well, I think other else's in the film.
I want Marty Supreme to win.
Really?
Because for all the same reasons that One Battle will win, I think Marty Supreme sort of pushes it a little bit further. You've got Abel Ferreira knocking about out of nowhere. You've got all these sort of real odd people. The Safdies. They've always had quite a lot of fun casting people and like non-actors. Yeah. And it just feels a little bit more, like textured. Oh, Christ alive. Hang on. The phone's calling. Hello.
Hi, this is Josh Safdie. Can I speak with casting agent Ronald Bronstein, please?
Yeah, you got right through to him. I don't have...
Oh, is that you, Ron? That's you, Ronnie?
Yeah, that's me. I don't have a secretary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd have a... My bad. Okay, no, that's fine. You don't have a secretary, huh?
I don't get called that often.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would have thought you'd be in quite high demand. I mean, you're working on my film and it's a pretty big deal.
So. Yeah, sorry, Josh. Yeah, no, Josh, I'm, it's great that you're calling.
Right.
What do I owe the pleasure, Josh?
I'm calling to see how you're getting on with casting. I got a bit of a worrying email the other day that you were speaking to actors, all of whom I knew. And I was a bit concerned about that.
Well, you can't just have like people you've never heard of in a movie. You've never been in a movie.
I think I'll tell you what I can have in a movie. Again, I'm the good Safdie brother. I know what's best. And I know what they should look like as well.
Well, like, you know, there's a kind of mob guy. And I was thinking like,
yeah,
Robert De Niro.
No.
Oh. No.
Definitely not.
William H. Macy?
No, again, too known. You're thinking like PTA here, okay? That's not my vibe, right? Go again. Guess again.
Well, anyone I'd have to say a made-up name for you not to have heard them.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't have to be completely made up, but it does have to be, you know... interesting. Look, man, what I want you to find me people who've got weird faces, okay? That's it. I just want you to find me people who don't look normal. What else can I say?
Well, I guess I could call Joe Devine.
Bonjour. Nice sweater.
There's one way out front runner for casting that we haven't mentioned.
Hamnet.
According to the odds. Hamnet. No, it's Sinners. Sinners. Hamnet's 20-1, mate. You know, One Battle After Another, 11-4. Marty Supreme, 20-1. Sinners is 2-7. It's odds on favourite.
What I think will come up time and again with this, I think, will be it depends what else that they're going to win on the night. So if Sinners feels like locked on for best picture or best director or whatever, it won't get casting. But if it's not, if it's not getting a sniff elsewhere,
and it isn't, it won't win those.
It's going to get the craft things, even though it looks like shit. It's very well cast. I think there's some supporting actor noms for it that I actually quite rate. But yeah, so it's going to get the scraps off the table with best casting.
I think it's going to get the casting scrap. I do. I think casting crumbs. And what is that a problem? Casting crumbs? That's still an Oscar. That's still a very good Oscar, you know?
Right. Onwards and upwards. Best supporting actress.
So, all right, let's do best supporting actress. And I can tell you that the nominees.
I already know who they are.
Yeah, I'm telling the audience.
Yeah, no, but I know, so you don't need. I can just read it out.
Oh, you want to tell them? Okay. Yeah, go on then.
So we've got Elle Fanning for sentimental value, mm-hmm. Inga Ibsdotter Lilias for sentimental value,
right?
Amy mm-hmm. Madigan from Weapons, Wunmi Mosaku from.
Wait. When was she mad before?
Hey. Wunmi Mosaku for Sinners and Tayana Taylor for One Battle.
Yeah. Okay.
So now it's my turn to say first for Think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Tayana Taylor will get this.
I also think Tayana Taylor will get this.
Which is a shame because she shouldn't. She's in the movie for about 7 minutes.
Right. Well, because my want is also Tayana Taylor.
That's absolutely absurd.
Can I tell you why?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, here's my thinking, and this thinking is also going to apply to best supporting actor. This is my subjective take on the supporting actor roles. Okay, the actor that I want to win in these categories is an actor that has a huge impact on a film, that is memorable, that it is associated with my memory of watching it, that it you know. Is almost like upstaging the other people there, a scene stealer, you know. And in that sense, the less time they're on screen, in some cases, the more impressive it is. And I would say in the case of Tayana Taylor, One Battle After Another, you're right, she's really only in the film for the first sort of 30 minutes or so. But I think all of the most iconic images from the film include her. All of the best line readings in the film, apart from a couple of Benicio del Toro's, are hers. I think her energy and her charisma just steal every scene that she's in. She's the reason that I was completely gripped by the film the first time I saw it in the cinema. And so I don't mind that she's not in the film that much. I think she's in the film the perfect amount. I think she deserves to win it. And I think, like, as far as characters in films that were released in this catchment era year, I think she's got one of the best and most interesting characters.
I couldn't disagree more. I think the fewer awards that go to One Battle After Another, the better.
Right. I love how you've soured on it over time. Like, you quite liked it when it came out, and then you've just soured on it, like, more and more as the months pass.
Yeah, I think mainly it's to do with everyone else's increasing obsessive defense of it and support for it. I understand the impact, like, that you want from a supporting character actor. I get that. That's not what I want. I want it to go to the person who has acted the best in a movie.
Right.
And in that regard, I think Wunmi Mosaku in Sinners, her performance in that, she's in there, she isn't in it that much, but she's phenomenal in that movie. I didn't really like Sinners too much, but in the first hour, the scenes she has with Michael B. Jordan, she acts him out of the fucking park. She's fantastic. But also, to speak to the impact character, if I was doing it on your basis, it should be Amy Madigan in Weapons. She is insane and mad and scary in that flick. And she's very old. She'll probably be dead soon. If anyone should get it, it should be her. Like, because Tayana Taylor, she's going to get an award, an Oscar soon. Like, there's no doubt, you know, she's an amazing actress.
She's this is young. My Timothy Chalamet argument, by the way.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't need it.
No. Well, Amy Madigan is second in the list of odds favourites. She's 4-1. So not far away. Could be a winner. Also, Inga from Sentimental Value is 5-1. So again, like, this category is far from decided, I would say, although 4-11. Tayana Taylor is a strong favourite to win, but I do think that the odds are relatively short on a couple of other people here, so that could still go either way.
I feel like Sentimental Value is my film of the year, and if people are, it's not going to win the bigger ones, and then that's where you feel like, okay, let's give Inga best supporting, let's give Sentimental Value a little bit of time on the stage.
Well, I mean, do you want to do best supporting actor, because
yeah, let's go straight into that.
I mean, I can tell you that the nominees for best supporting
you
actor,
don't need to, because I already know.
Oh, you know, do you?
Yeah.
I'm telling the audience though.
No, but you don't. I'll just do it now.
You want to do it? Okay.
Yeah, it's Benicio del Toro for One Battle. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Jacob Elordi, oh lordy, trouble so hard, the Frankenstein.
Jacob Elordi, Frankenstein, gonna get a Frankenstein. Oh Guillermo, trouble del Toro.
We got Delroy Lindo for Sinners.
Did you know he's Australian, by the way? I didn't know that until the other day.
Not interested. Not from you, but yeah, like
right, yeah.
Delroy Lindo from Sinners, yeah. Sean Penn of Robin Wright Penn, You've Dropped My Pen fame, One Battle After Another, and Stellan Skarsgård.
Two Robin Wright, and Stellan Skarsgård,
and Stellan for Sentimental Value.
Yeah, so it's my turn to go first this time, isn't it? Okay, well, here's who I think is going to win. I think Stellan Skarsgård is going to win for Sentimental Value. I think so. I mean, he's absolutely tremendous in that film. Let me get the IMDb up. It's relatively short and sweet. An intimate exploration of family, memories, and the reconciliatory power of art. That's all it is. And I think Stellan Skarsgård is masterful in this film. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I think it's maybe the best thing he's ever done. I think he will win.
Yeah, he is very Stellan Skarsgård in it, though. I just watched The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes.
Rewatched.
Do you know, I think that's quite a good film.
I hadn't watched it since it came out in 2011. Mm-hmm. That film's 15 years old.
Yeah, big time.
The first hour is a bit of a slog. There's a horrible scene in there that made
really horrible.
Which made me think, fuck you, David Fincher. This is why I won't rewatch this film.
I think, incidentally, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I think, incidentally, that's the reason that film never really found a solid footing in the kind of rewatchable canon, because that is such an unpleasant scene. And I understand, you know, one could argue its importance to the story. I think there's a separate argument to be made about the necessity for the visceral nature of that scene. But I think that film has enough famous people in it. It's about a story that was adapted from a story that was famous enough that was, you know, it wasn't a hit when it came out or anything, but like people went to see it. Some people did. And I think this is the kind of film that could very easily live on a streamer rewatchable sort of list. And it doesn't because of that scene.
I think I haven't read the book of the same name, but I imagine the fans of the book would insist that's important for the character, the Lisbeth character. And yeah. I think Rooney Mara, she gives such a fantastic performance. You don't need to see that happen because she's got it in the performance.
Yeah.
But Fincher, he feels like he's so grubby as a director, not as a human being. Like he was like, oh, this is right in his wheelhouse. Let's film this. But yeah, just doesn't, you know, take that out of the movie, and you've got a movie that you could rewatch far more often. And I don't want to rewatch it now. But yeah, there was the back end, the last hour and a half.
Yeah, it's decent.
It's pretty decent. Anyway.
Yeah.
To the point of Stellan, I feel like his range is actually quite narrow, and I feel like he's very good in Sentimental Value. I feel like he's giving me Stellan Skarsgård in that.
Yeah. I think he's due one, though. I think he's due one as Stellan Skarsgård. With some of these guys out there, some of these gals too, even if they're just absolutely fantastic at doing one thing and it's themselves, if they're so good at it and they keep doing it and they keep knocking it out of the park every year, at some point the Academy Awards likes to recognize them and say, hey, you, Stellan Skarsgård, you're due one of these. This is the film you get it for. Al Pacino got that for Scent of a Woman, right? He does the same thing in every film, and everybody loved it. And so they just gave it to him when it was a weak year, you know, when no one else was going to be like shafted out of winning. And in this instance, you could make an argument that people might be shafted out, but I think his performance is the best of all these here.
Who should win it, actually, is Delroy Lindo.
You think so?
it's his time. He deserves it. He's not going to get another bite of the cherry. He's fantastic in Sinners. And again, I didn't particularly care for the movie. As for a vampire movie, I need far more, like, better directed action. I need more blood. But Delroy Lindo is doing fantastic work, and he's always been great in as that kind of supporting actor, and he's mm-hmm. never got his due.
Right.
So I'd love to see it go to Delroy.
I could see why you could make that argument. All I will say is that for me personally, and now I'm moving on to the want part of this section, I want Stellan Skarsgård to win it. Because he touched me in that film, and I like to be touched. Also, I wrote down Benicio del Toro, because for the same argument that I made with Teyana in the Best Supporting Actress category, Benicio del Toro is so funny in One Battle After Another, and his little dance backwards with the beer can at the end. I just think the whole thing is very, very well observed. I enjoyed it immensely. And he really helps keep a long film turning over quickly when he shows up. So I would accept those. I would also accept Delroy Lindo. I'll accept whatever the Academy says.
I won't accept Sean Penn.
No, and I wouldn't accept Jacob Elordi, obviously.
No, those two performances are probably what I'd say the worst performances I saw last year, and yet they're on this list.
Right.
Which I find baffling.
Well, that's the Oscars
for
you.
Moving swiftly on.
Do you want to know who the favourite is?
Stellan Skarsgård?
Yeah, it's Stellan Skarsgård.
Great, yeah, because you love to back a favourite. You know, you don't want to lose.
No, it just so happens that the people I think are going to win also happen to be the favourite.
It just so happens the people I think are going to win are going to win. It just so happens.
Do you want to do some writing? Do you want to do some writing awards?
So Best Adapto.
You want to do Best Adapto Screenplay? Best Adapto Screenplay. Hey. Right, okay. Well, I can tell you that the nominees...
You don't need to because I've already got it written down.
So you just want to do that bit, do you?
Yeah.
I'm telling the audience, not you.
But I have to listen, and I'd rather me just say it.
Okay.
Best Adapted Screenplay. Begonia. Doesn't matter who wrote these. I'm not.
Here we go. Begonia. This is where you start pushing Begonia, isn't it? This is the Begonia button.
My name's Adam Richmond, and I'm going to press the Begonia button because no one else is pressing the Begonia button, and therefore I feel as though it will make me stand out more amongst my peers.
We've also got Hamnet, Frankenstein, One Battle After Another, and Train Dreams.
Uh huh. Go on, mate. It's your turn.
My turn.
Press your Begonia button.
Well, no. I'm going to say what. I'm going to say what I think wins.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think wins?
Well, One Battle After Another is obviously going to win this.
That's what I think will win as well.
Clearly. You know.
Why? Why do you think it'll win, clearly?
Because you said I wasn't allowed to slag off the Oscars, and I'm not going to slag off the Oscars.
That's what I said.
But everything we're talking about has got nothing to do... I say nothing. It's got very little to do. I say very little. It's partly to do with how good something is, but as much as, all equally, if not more, it's got to do with perception and what people want to say and reward, which is why Big Al gets the Scent of a Woman Oscar. Got nothing to do with the performance. It's got to do with it's his time.
Yeah.
And it's all got to do with heat in other categories. It's all got to do with all this kind of bollocks, okay? And so that's why it's going to win. Frankenstein, it's even on this list, is laughable.
This is what you want to win, Frankenstein.
One of the worst films I saw all year. The script is absolute dog shit. Train Dreams... One of the most sentimental, saddest script. There is no script. Oh, you know, the idea that that's on the fucking script is absolutely laughable. Hamnet, haven't seen. I bet it's a very good adapted screenplay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, One Battle After Another. It's a very good script. It's very funny. It's classic PTA. But I don't want it to win. You know, I want Begonia to win just because it's not going to win anything else. And I feel like it's been a little slept on.
Look, and that's what sometimes happens in the screenplay category. I feel as though it's one of two things. Either the film that wins Best Picture might do a little sweep and win in this category as well, or sometimes voters like to give a little nod to a film that they know they're not going to vote for when it comes to Best Picture. So in the case of this year, Hamnet is actually the second most likely film to win. It's still very far behind One Battle After Another in the odds, but it's the second most likely because I feel as though Hollywood people will have watched it and thought, well, that one's nice. Maybe I'll vote for that one because I'm voting for the other one in the other one. That's how they work. That's how it thinks sometimes. But I agree with you, One Battle After Another's going to win.
They also like a clean sweep. They like a, it won this, this and this.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're absolutely right. Here's the one I want to win, though. You ready?
It's one battle after another.
It's one battle after another.
What a sad man you are.
It's evidently the most fun and best film of the year, apart from Sentimental Value.
Have you seen Begonia?
Yeah, I watched Begonia, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Do you not remember? I messaged you immediately after I came out of the cinema to say, well, that was shit. And also, Begonia was the film that least passed the bum test of all the films that I have seen in the cinema all year. Not only did I not like it, I actually hated it. Okay, yeah, which says more than not liking it. Because if I just hadn't liked it, I would have gone, that's probably not a very good film. That I hated it made me think, maybe it is quite a good film, but I hated it. Also, can I say, though, I'm not just like the kind of person that would hate it because it's a Yorgos Lanthimos film. I really liked Poor Things. I'd watched three Yorgos Lanthimos movies before that, and I'd hated them all more than the one before, right? And I watched Poor Things anyway. I watched it on my iPad in a hotel room in Stratford-upon-Avon, yeah, where I was trying to relive Hamnet. And this was a couple of years ago. And I went, do you know what? That's a really good film. I really like that. Well done to everyone involved. So I'm not the kind of person that just hates it before it's happened. I went to see it, and after I'd seen it, I hated it.
Yeah, no, fair dues. I mean, it's weird. You like his shittiest film. I think that just says everything I need to know about you.
I don't think it does. I think it means that I'm truthful and honest to myself. That's it. I'm honest to what I like. You know,
you like the Yorgos Lanthimos movie that the Hollywood Oscars liked. That's the one you like.
The mainstream one, the one that's actually good. Not the one that like all posers that pretend they like films say they like, because it's like, oh, I don't know if you've seen it, but actually what happens in it is like nothing's like what it, you would, everyone reacts in the opposite way to what you would think they would, and that therefore it's good, you know? What, have you never felt a feeling before?
For too long I've been parched of thirst, unable to quench it. Too long I've been starving to death and haven't died. I feel nothing, not the wind on my face, nor the spray of the sea. You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one.
But yeah, so let's go to original screenplay.
Well, I mean, if you want, I can read the categories to you. They are as
follows. No. I don't want you to say these, please.
I'm saying them for the audience.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to hear you say them.
Okay.
Blue Moon. Right. That's a Linklater.
Yeah.
It Was Just an Accident. Jafar Panahi.
Right.
Marty Supreme. Uh-huh. Sentimental Value. Uh-huh. And Sinners.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you want?
Oh, I think Sinners is going to win.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, and my reasoning for that is the reasoning I just gave previously, which is that I think people are going to vote for a different film for best film, best picture. But I think that people, you know, enjoyed Sinners and that they will want to give it something. And often the writing categories are the category where that can be the case. Yeah, director could also be there, but I think in this case it's probably going to be this one.
I think Marty Supreme, for the same reasons.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think Marty Supreme's going to win? Because it's going to get one of the big ones, right? Like,
do you think? I don't know whether it will. I think I was thinking maybe Sinners would, and that's why Marty would get this. Really? That was my. I think Sinners really? Will get one of the bigger ones, and then Marty will get this off as the side prize.
In which case, let's just talk about what we want to win here, because I don't want to precurse any of the chat upcoming.
Well, I think we're going to snap on this, surely. Let's say together. Three, oh, two, one. Sentimental value. It was just
an accident. Yeah, sentimental value, yeah, of course. Do you want to, I mean, I've sort of already eulogized about it a little bit. Would you like to, you know, you've said that it was your film of the year, but do you want to say why?
Seeing this at the cinema, mm-hmm. it's about, it's two daughters and they've got an estranged relationship with their dad for God's sake. And it's about art. And he just seems to make these films that seem to be about more than one thing. And mm-hmm. I don't know how he does that. The acting feels there's so much realism to the performances, but at the same time you'll never, like, you're obviously watching a movie because he has certain artifice, like movie stuff that he's like, he'll tell you, you know, you're watching a movie. There's voiceover for fuck's sake, but it never throws you out of it. And then come the end of this movie, it does a thing that I in the back of my mind knew he was going to do, and then he does it anyway, and I'm just, you know, crying all the way through the credits, but in a nice cathartic cry, you know, that you kind of really want, the thing that you want from a movie to make you feel something.
Yeah,
sentimental value,
right? Yeah,
it's like nothing,
your chest covered in excrement, rubbing it in, jism on the seat in front of you.
I can't imagine tears. I can't imagine anyone watching that movie and not crying.
I've sent people to see it who didn't get it at all, which is it's a mystery to me. I don't understand.
Watched it at the wrong time.
I said to the person I'm thinking of, watch it again in 10 years. Not because you'll be older then, but just because enough time will have passed that you maybe can try again, you know? Because I don't think there's anything in this film that precludes young people from enjoying it either, right? It's not like one of those films that kind of requires a set amount of life experience in order to fully appreciate. It feels as though there's something for everyone here. Anyway, I think that should win. I completely agree. Should we move on?
Let's move on.
Right, so that's the writers are out of the way, right?
Yeah, screenplays are out of the way, so now we're going to actors and actresses.
Well, that's the question. Do you want to do director now, or do you want to do actors and actresses first? You're an auteur guy, right? So you want to save director for the bit that seems more important, which is after.
Yeah, yeah, actors are, they're puppets. They're fucking okay, meat. As Hitchcock. And also, I'm not an auteur.
No, I said you're an auteur guy, not an auteur. You're the kind of guy who likes auteurs, except you don't either. Okay.
Let's do actor first.
Actor first, yeah, because always, you know, your kids took your wife's name. Let's do actor first.
Yeah. I mean, this. You completely won me round on this, so think and want are the same.
You've got to think and want?
Both think and want.
Wow.
Are the same. And, I mean, I always wanted it to be Leo. And as a result of you...
What? You wanted it to be Leo?
Yeah.
What? You don't even like that film?
His performance is fantastic. I love him. He makes that film for me. Like, that's why I stayed with it. And like, he makes that movie.
Yeah, that's just so confusing. Like, I don't think you appreciate how confused audiences will be listening to this. Like, you've oscillated from like saying it's total shit, basically,
to now saying that
for a long time
shit.
You wanted Leo to win the Oscar.
No, because we had a chat about who we thought.
Yeah.
And I thought it was buttoned on Timmy C. But then I think you won me round. Like, actually, no, it's going to be Leo. I want Leo to win this. I think Leo's done
so
a
So you're
better...
saying you want Leo to win?
I want him to win. And now, because you convinced me to... I want to be on the right side of history. I want to bank on Leo.
No, but I think you're misremembering our conversation. Our conversation was this. We talked about it. Pretty soon, I'd gone to see Marty Supreme that weekend. I think you had as well. We came back to talk about it together. We did a special episode where a big chunk of the episode was dedicated to that film. It was donated to that film. We cut it apart and sent it to Josh Sefti. Anyway, what I actually said was this. I said that Leo DiCaprio is the person who's more likely to win the Oscar, but Marty Supreme was picking up steam. The question is that just in the momentum of the time, because the film had just released, people were seeing it, people had seen his advertising campaign, people enjoyed it, and would that continue to collect momentum, or would that peter out again, and Leo, who's in a film that was released much earlier, would come through as the strong candidate? So what I actually said was I think Marty Supreme is going to win, but I don't want him to. And not because I don't think he deserves to, but because I want him to keep chasing the Oscar as hard as he's chasing it in this film, because I think that will mean he makes some more good films and has some good performances. If he wins the Best Actor Oscar this year, after whatever he's already signed on to do, he's just going to do some weird shit. He's going to have some other goal to chase. He seems very goal-oriented, or that type of person, right? So I think it's important that we keep him focused on this goal for a little while longer, and that the Academy don't give him what he wants this early in his career. Unfortunately, the momentum that was collecting around the release of this film has continued to build and build and build. He is now like the solid favourite to win in terms of the betting odds, and also in the general media consideration, general discussion. I think it's pretty clear he's going to win.
Really?
The Best Actor Oscar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The betting odds have him 2-7. Leo's 7-1 now.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm remembering it now. I think and want the same thing, and I believe it. Like, Leo, I think and I want. And also, I think there's actually a little bit of blowback on old Marty Supreme. There's a little bit of blowback, yeah.
What's the blowback?
Well, the Safdies, the reason why they fell out has come out again. Yeah. Controversy about what happened on the set of, I think, Uncut Gems.
Right.
Unsavory allegations knocking about the Safdies.
Against who?
Against both of them, against Benny and Josh.
Double Safdie.
People can go, well, it doesn't matter. I don't need to say. You'll just go, don't say that. I haven't done the research. I just know the dark arts of the Oscars are coming back in. This was something that was already floating around, and it's come out again.
It's
a story about, partly explains why people suggest this is why they went their separate ways.
Got it.
Blah blah blah.
Well, look, I would like Leo to win. I think he deserves to. Michael B. Jordan for Sinners is also nominated, of course. You didn't even read out the nominees. Do you want me to do that now?
No. I just assumed everyone knew. But do you know what? You're right.
I've already read most of them, so I should probably just finish them.
Timmy Chalamet for Marty Supreme. Yeah. Leo.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a surname because that's how big he is. He's Madonna for One Battle. Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon,
yeah,
which Joe's seen and I haven't. Uh-huh. Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, and Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent, which neither of us seen, but we will...
Now, once upon a time, there was a world where Ethan Hawke could have been considered, you know, not the favourite, of course, but could have been considered in for a chance of winning this. Around the time that film came out, there was talk about it. He's sort of slipped from all possible contention now. I think he's the least likely of the five to actually win this.
Yeah, never within a snifter. No way.
It was within a snifter when the film came out earlier in the year, it was. But this is largely because of many of these other films.
When you watched Blue Moon, released. Did you come out thinking, that's the one, that's the performance that's going to blow the socks off everyone?
I came out thinking that's the kind of performance that in a weak year would win Best Actor at the Oscars. It's not a very charismatic film, but it's definitely, in, I would say, 3 years out of every 10, it's a worthy winner. Yeah.
It's not a weak year.
No, I didn't say it was. I simply said I came out of that cinema thinking this.
Proof if proof be need be. Forget it. Hawk, get out of here.
You've done one of your worst traits you've just exhibited there, which is picking a random thing I've said and then using it against me as though I've said something I haven't. You love
best
to
traits.
Do that.
Best trait. I really want Leo to get this.
Me too. He deserves it.
I believe he's going to.
It's been, nearly 10 years since he won his last one. Let's give him another, you know, get it in there.
There was a headline on an article, an IndieWire article. I didn't read it because who cares? But the notion was it's increasingly, if not entirely impossible, for the Oscars to have any surprises for any of the awards. which makes this chat, does it slightly redundant and the whole process redundant?
That, no, that's not true. That just isn't true. That isn't true. Do you know how I know that? Because every year I watch the Oscars with my cousin and we do predictions of who we think is going to win. And I use the betting odds to help me. I don't always pick the favourite. I pick the one I think will win, even if they're not the favourite. But it does mean that I have a good idea of who the favourites are every year.
Can I ask, how do you pick? Is it a mixture of gut, odds?
It's a mixture of gut, odds, and then like what media figures say. That's it, really. And also, occasionally, if I've seen the film and I feel strongly about it, even if I don't think they're going to win, I pick them because I want them to win. There's like, in of the 23 categories or however many there are, every year there's usually about four that I pick because I want them to win, which has resulted in me, how old am I now? 35? Ever since I was 18, I've been doing this every year with the same cousin. So that's almost 20 years. That's 17 years of Oscar voting. And I have won once. So this is how well my system works, you know, when I pick who I think should win as opposed to who I think will win. But I can tell you that a couple of years ago, I remember distinctly because many of the films that were listed as the highest likelihood to win by the betting aggregators that day didn't win the awards. So I think maybe there's not these major surprises that everyone's looking for and everyone's excited about. Oh, for example, will Michael B. Jordan, who's currently about 20-1 to win Best Actor, will he secretly win? Okay, maybe that's not as likely to happen as perhaps it used to be because there are much more sophisticated means of understanding ahead of time what's more likely to happen. But it definitely isn't always the favourite that wins the award. I would say maybe slightly more than half the time, but definitely not more than that.
So Leo could win. I'm not insane.
Leo could win. Leo could 100% win. Definitely. Yes. That could happen. That could
your
happen.
Gut, in this instance,
is Timmy Chalamet.
But even though you want Leo in this instance, don't you want to put out the good vibes?
I'd be honest with you. The name I actually wrote down was Stellan Skarsgård because I think he is also just as much of a protagonist in the film's sentimental value as the other characters who would be listed in these categories are. I'm aware he's nominated in supporting actor. I think he deserves Best Actor nod as well.
He doesn't.
He does.
He doesn't even deserve. He's not even going to win Best Supporting. Forget it, Stellan. You played the same hand again and again. Okay, moving swiftly on. We're going to Best Actress.
Well, I can tell you that the nominees for Best Actress.
No,
well,
wait. No. I'm not going to fuck this up again. Let's do this now.
I'm doing it for the audience.
Jesse Buckley for Hamnet.
You can stop the list there.
Rose Byrne for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You.
Yeah.
A film I would quite like to see, but I missed.
I like the film. My favourite film of the year was If I Had Legs, I'd Be a Bipedal. I liked that film. Yeah.
Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue.
Yeah.
Renate Rensive for Sentimental Value.
Is Song Sung Blue is actually the name of that film? You know what? That's the Neil Diamond film, isn't it? I know it as the Neil Diamond film. I've seen that trailer about 100 times. I promise you, I never, ever knew the film was called Song Sung Blue. What a terrible name.
Sweet Caroline.
Song Sung Blue.
And Emma Stone.
Yeah,
Pugonia. For Begonia.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it now? I think it's your turn.
It's your turn. Oh, wait, no, it's my turn. You're right. It's my turn. Yeah,
who do you want and who do you think?
Well, I mean, I think who everyone thinks, which presumably is also who you think.
Yeah, because I don't care about this award at all.
Right. It's Jessie Buckley. Yeah. Jessie Buckley's going to win. She's won all the other ones. She's definitely going to win. Let me tell you the odds here. She's 1-16, which, just to be clear, means if you paid £16 for a bet, you would get £1 back if you were right. That's it. That's all you would get back.
Brought to you by Betfair.
Oh, for God's sake, I'm not
his bets. He wants to get you betting.
Oh, my God. I'm simply using them as an educational.
You didn't know that, right? I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, it's because you don't bet, you know. That's how likely she is to win. Also, who do I want to win? Jessie Buckley. She's fantastic. Have you seen Hamnet?
No. You've seen it?
Yeah. I mean, I think the film's absolutely fine. I think you haven't seen it, so I don't want to spoil too much of it. I will say to you, I think there's a lovely ending. And even though it is somewhat given away by the trailer
and definitely expected based on what I knew and what you will know about the film going into it, aka you know, the music that's used and the general sort of tone of the storytelling. It was still surprising and touching. It was very heartfelt. I found it moving. I don't think Paul Mescal's fantastic in the film. I think, you know, he's okay. And Jesse Buckley is you know, it's almost boring to say, but he's just absolutely incredible in the film and is so good that the film kind of sucks because she's so much better than everyone else and everything in the film. Very rare have I seen someone give a performance like this. I think it's a once in a generation thing. I don't think she'll ever do it again. I mean, probably she deserves this award more than any other film or any other person deserves any award ceremony this year. That's related to films, obviously. In actual important areas, other people deserve things more.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, it's weird because like everyone is saying this one thing.
Yeah.
And I haven't even seen this movie or the performance.
Yeah.
But I just know who I would rather win. And I know it's definitely not Jesse Buckley. Of course, Emma Stone. I want Emma Stone to win this award.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Hamnet. I know Hamnet, like, it's obviously a phenomenal performance. And I will get around to seeing it when the walls are down and I can enjoy it. In the meantime, Emma Stone, man, locked on for this fucking award. She's phenomenal in this movie. The things that she does, you know, the things that she won't do, they're not on there, you know. I think she is pushing. She's pushing the boundaries of what it means to be an actor. She'll really degrade herself.
Oh, you mean she'll shave her hair and put some Vaseline on her face?
I think it's more than that. But yeah, anyway, I really rate the performance. I think Begonia, I'm enjoying how much it's slept on because it's just like I can go, yeah, Begonia.
Oh my God.
I
hate you
and
so
I'm really
much.
Looking forward to the Rose Byrne flick because I hear that's very good as well. It's a shame. Like, I imagine, from what I hear of her performance, in a weaker year, she'd get the nod. And like, we haven't even talked about Renata.
To be honest, in a year without Jesse Buckley, she would win. I think is the understanding.
Right, there's some stiff competition for the gals.
Agree. I would also love Renata Renzver to win because she's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, the problem with her performance is it's so naturalistic. There's no fireworks.
No,
and that's not what the Oscars. You know, you can't see the acting. You can't see. There's no snot going on. There's no crying. She's got the harder bit of business to do.
Big time.
Okay, let's go, director.
Yeah. Should I tell you who's nominated?
No.
Because I've got it here.
No, forget it. I've got it now. I'm on a hot streak.
I'm telling the audience though.
Chloe Zhao for Hamnet.
Yeah.
Josh Safdie for Marty.
Uh-huh.
PTA for One Battle. Joachim Trier for Sentimental. And Ryan Coogler for Sinners.
Yeah.
Those are the directors.
Mm-hmm.
A woman. So it's my turn. Who do I think and who do I want? Is it which way around is it?
It's think first.
Well, PTA is going to win.
Yeah.
Easy.
No, I mean, yeah, he is.
Probably should as well because there's some phenomenal filmmaking in this flick.
Yeah.
Real flashy, flashy technique going on. All the other directors, they're all going to be jizzing in their shorts. Oh, he got a new camera and he did this. And oh, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Oh, you can't do that, can you? That's amazing. He should definitely get best director.
Oh, my God. I would say, though, he deserves it on the basis that this is presumably, oh, for me it is anyway, his best film. And he's made a number of really, really good films. So fantastic. You've laughed at me like I'm absolutely insane for saying that. But no, what of PTA's films, which ones are better than this one for you? Not which ones are better than this one, but for you, which ones do you think are better than this one? I'm curious.
Well, The Master, I think, is better.
Uh-huh.
I mean, better, like, do you know what? I don't know. I just enjoy his other movies more.
Right.
And so, like, better is just, it's a nonsense for me to talk about. There are things in this movie, in One Battle, there are choices that he's made that just feel like they've irreparably damaged how I can enjoy it. The choices, directorial choices that he's made that I just
Which
think...
Which ones?
The whole plot of Sean Penn.
Right.
The whole back end, the...
You mean like the second half of the film, when you say the back end?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. The second half of the film, and particularly what his character wants to do, his motivation.
Right.
Spoiler alert, he wants to effectively kill his daughter. And I just found it stupid. I can't buy into that as a storyline. I know it's supposed to be quite madcap. I quite liked the insane sort of conspiracy, like, yeah, people that he's involved with. That's like, oh, that's quite fun. That's quite silly.
It's like a graphic novel or something, like a bit like a comic book.
Right. But as soon as I thought all his efforts were going to be to try and get Teyonah Taylor back, like, that's what he was after, because he was so obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And if that's where the movie was going, I think I would have been on board. But when it turned out that he wants to ascend to power so much that he would kill his own daughter, I was like, fuck off. This is an absurd, nonsensical satire.
Yeah.
That I just don't believe.
Wait, it's a Yorgos Lanthimos film. Fair enough. No, I think, to be fair, I think that's a reasonable hurdle to not be able to get over. And I will say, the thing I don't like about the Sean Penn character, spoilers obviously, is that he comes back yet again after his big horrible car crash, and he has that scene at the end where he gets taken into the corner office, and I think at that point I'm so kind of lost by it. Where the film begins, where it starts, there's no question about it for me that apart from some of the scenes where Leo's on the phone to the kind of to the guy, you know, shouting at him trying to get the information, the strongest part of the film is the opening 20-30 minutes before it jumps time, and then where the actual film takes place. And one of the reasons I love that so much is because this relationship between Teyonah Taylor and Sean Penn is very interesting. The power struggle and the power dynamics at play in this relationship are really... I don't mean this as a criticism, because I actually like the level to which they are explored, but they're underexplored. They leave so much to the imagination. They're so fascinating. I agree with you. I think were he to be on some kind of insane journey to track her down again, even if it was to hurt her, I would totally believe that, and I would be on board with it. I think there is a jump that is required of you to believe that this character wants what he wants so much that he would be willing to kill his daughter. A more believable version of the film might be that he doesn't have the capacity to then kind of go through with this act. And you could make an argument that's kind of what the film does, because he instead of killing her himself, he ends up handing her off to someone else, which is the reason that she escapes. You know, he sort of it all leads to his own doom, because he doesn't actually have the ability to do this thing. The thing I will say in the film's favour is that even though these could be, or you considered, like, critical flaws, and I think by me are considered definite flaws in the film, the film is still so good that I can completely overlook them as it relates to the competitive value relative to these other films here.
Yeah, I think maybe the only extra thing I would say is maybe it speaks to a more modern sensibility that P.T. Anderson wants to make the Penn character a monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas before, maybe 10, 15 years ago, he wouldn't have made him a monster.
He'd be humanized.
But given the political, cultural temperature of the time in America,
yeah,
he was like, oh no, fuck that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. It's black and white, right? It's very clear who the goodies and the baddies are in this film. That's not one of the things you have to question.
That's why it speaks to my original statement about how mainstream these seemingly arthouse movies are. They're not. The messages and the themes in these movies are just so clear. They're just not that interesting. Whereas Begonia...
I am a golden god!
No. Anyway, so PTA's got this locked in.
Yeah.
I would love for Joachim Trier to win this easily.
Yeah.
Like for someone to make me feel, I think his film, for someone to make me feel the way that he made me feel, I think is gold dust, is rare as fuck.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he made that movie. And I know exactly how PTA made his movie.
I agree. So the only reason I didn't write down Joachim Trier is because I've written sentimental value for like every other category. I was worried in the prep for this episode that I was going to be incredibly boring and just say I think it should win all of them, which I do, to be frank. It's the best film I've seen all year. It's one of the best films I've ever seen. I think it's amazing. I think the point that you made earlier is the most important one. I don't know how it's about so many different things, but it is. And the reason I feel so confident telling people to go and watch it, and will continue to, even though a couple of people I've recommended it to haven't really liked it, is because I feel confident that there's something in there for almost everybody. It's a very true, I would say, reflection of family and the complications of family. And it has maybe like 15 moments in it that sort of transcend the craft and are touching the universe in terms of the art involved. I don't know how, you know, any film would be desperate for one moment. And a lot of films that we've talked about today, a lot of films that are nominated for Oscars have one special moment that their directors would be proud of, and that is the moment, you know, Hamnet has one, maybe two. And that's a film that deserves to be nominated in some of these categories. Sentimental Value has 15, 16, 17. They just keep coming. I don't know how.
Monty Supreme's got the one at the end.
No, I completely agree. As I said, I didn't write that down because I wrote it down for every other category. And so instead I wrote down a different film. It's not nominated. A different film that I think deserves more credit. I've been looking forward to this conversation ever since I joined the call and heard what you had to say about Train Dreams.
You're going to say Train Dreams?
I'm going to say Train Dreams. I'm going to say I think Clint Bentley deserved at the very least a nomination for Best Director. I think of all the films I've seen this year, Train Dreams was, and it spoke to me, I think. I can understand why other people watching wouldn't necessarily like the film, but it was the quickest to sweep me away. Within 5 minutes of putting it on, and I watched it at home as well. I really wish I'd seen it in the cinema, but I watched it at home. It was on Netflix, obviously. Is it a Netflix movie, or is it just... It is.
I don't know whether it got made and they bought it after. It says Netflix Presents.
Yeah.
It's once you do that, once you sign your soul, it's a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's no longer a movie. It's a Netflix movie.
Well, I would have loved to have seen it in the cinema. I was completely taken with it. After about 2 minutes, I could take your criticism of the idea that, you know, he's looking very hard for what the most interesting shot is in every scene. I think that's to the film's strength. I don't think, you know, you made a kind of cavalier criticism of it by saying, you know, or I've seen fucking the Knight of Cups before, mate. You know, I you know, what's the name of the fucking director?
Malick.
I've seen a Terrence Malick film before.
Bentley's put on the best of Malick and gone, yes, please.
Yeah, the best of Malick. And by the way, I don't think, like, Malick doesn't own, like, dreamlike, non-linear time storytelling, right? That, like, there are plenty of films and filmmakers that use those techniques. I think the thing that I find difficult about Terrence Malick films, the thing that I find difficult about Baz Luhrmann films, for example, is that they don't ever stop. They don't ever allow you to have these grounded moments, which Train Dreams definitely does. There are three or four, like, set piece scenes throughout that film that feel very grounded, that allow the dreamlike states between them to feel, you know, they because you feel anchored throughout the film, you feel safe and you're kind of you're floating when you are floating. I also think Joel Edgerton is amazing in the film. He's one of few actors that I can, and maybe this is something to do with what he looks like, but it's also to do with his performance. One of the few actors that I truly believe in a film where someone plays someone over a very broad range of ages. I absolutely, like, I was so moved by the scene towards the end when he's on the train looking out of the window, looking at, you know, places he'd been before, seeing how things change over time. So I'm not saying, obviously, I think Joachim Trier should win this award, and I think Paul Thomas Anderson will win it and also probably deserves to. I think Clint Bentley deserved a nomination, and I would encourage people to watch Train Dreams on a kind of, I don't know, a rainy midweek evening when they want to chill out and enjoy looking at something beautiful. And the final thing I would say about it is that in a year where many of the films on this list, not including sentimental value, are films where a lot is happening, there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of externalization, Train Dreams is very small, it's very calm, it's very internal, it's very reflective and poignant. It's very different to a lot of the films on this list. And I think it probably would be here in place of sentimental value if that film hadn't been made, right? It's like, that's what it offers. It offers that slightly different tone and perspective to the others. So I would stand for that.
The only thing I take issue with there is your use of the word stan. I would stand for that. That's,
I said it because I know that it upsets you when I say that.
Well,
just like it upsets me when you say Johnny.
fair dues. I think it's definitely a film that people should watch. The only reason it's in this in the conversation is it's filling in for The Brutalist, and the reason why it won't even get considered is because it's a Netflix movie. Sure. And it's sold out, and like,
yeah,
the place that Train Dreams operates and lives should be antithetical to Netflix, and it shouldn't be on there.
Agree.
And the reason why The Brutalist sort of held so firm and did so well was because it had this kind of purity to it, and like how it was released. And in fact, the there was this big whiff and stink about there was a couple of AI assisted things that were knocking about in The Brutalist, and it kind of did a bit of damage to its kind of prestige.
I still haven't seen it, you know.
You still haven't seen it?
No, it's because like you with whatever the fuck Hamlet. We were just talking about Hamlet, I'm waiting, and the stink is still in the air.
Yeah, leave it.
Yeah.
But fair dues. I'm not going, I've already pissed on Train Dreams a little bit. I don't need to stick the boot in. I love the fact that you love it. I'm jealous.
I really liked it.
I'm always jealous when someone feels something about a movie and I didn't.
Can I tell you how much I loved it is this? My wife had sat down with me to watch it. We had spooned on the couch, right? And I was holding a position where I had my hand on my head resting on my elbow, and my wife was kind of in between me and the TV, in between me and the edge of the couch. She fell asleep within 2 minutes of the film starting. Not a jot on the film, but just because she was very tired, and she always does that. And because I didn't want to interrupt this experience that I was having, I remained in that awkward position for far too long. I cricked my neck and it hurt for about 10 days afterwards. That's how much I love the film, that I stayed in an awkward, painful position in order to not interrupt the experience of enjoying it.
And she managed to stay asleep with her with that like throbbing erection poking in her back all the way through. That's
that's how she usually sleeps. So it's like, what are you going to do? You get used to it after a while.
What are you going
to
do?
What are you going to do?
Lovely stuff. So let's wrap this Oscars Johnny up.
You want to wrap this mother?
Yeah. Best film.
Okay. You want me to read the... I've got all the nominees.
Yeah, no, because I've written them down in my notepad, so I can just... Right. I can rattle them off here.
Why don't we read them together?
In no particular order, because I've got them written down, so you will just... You don't know what order I've got them in.
I reckon you'll have written them down in alphabetical order.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Three, two, one. Begonia. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
F1's after Frankenstein on the BBC list.
Well, F1 alphabetically would be before Frankenstein.
I think numbers come at the end, not at the beginning.
Who says that?
The BBC style guide.
No, well, that's... I disagree. It's like F. F is at the start.
It's like F. One. F you, man. F.
And then you've got Frankenstein. Whatever, fine. Let's do it that way.
Frankenstein.
F1.
Hamlet. Marty Supreme. One battle after another. The Secret Agent. Sentimental Values. I read the list. You fucking piece of shit.
Well done.
Thanks, man.
You to do. Who do you think? And you just... Listen, let's not hedge. Who do you think? Okay, this isn't The Shining. Just say.
One battle after another. Who do you think?
Yeah, one battle after another.
Yeah. I mean, the alternative is Sinners.
What do you... Because you've done this for 17 years of you watching the Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
The best film... The idea that best film and best director never... They don't always match, if not... They rarely match.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
But, like, how you can have best director and then not... You can have the best director and then that not win best film. Like, best film is the prestige pick of the night, right?
Yeah, it is. And I would say, I think the one... I said this a little bit earlier, but when there's a standout film or a sweepy film, it will win both, and it can also win, you know, in the writing categories, and it can win the acting categories. I think that's One Battle After Another this year. I think that's... I mean, I feel fairly confident that that's probably the case.
What about the heat for Sinners?
Sinners has got some heat, for sure. I don't personally think Sinners deserves to win over One Battle After Another. I think it's, like, an interesting film, but I think it's, like, far less complete. And it's kind of... Parts of it confused me. I think it looks quite good at parts at the beginning, but most of the film doesn't look very good. I wasn't really a fan, to be honest. So I don't think it will win, and I don't want it to win.
Yeah, no, me neither. But then there's like a hot... I get it.
Anything off the trolley, dears?
Like, the idea of that this list now is open to 10 films other than 5.
I like that.
I think it's pathetic.
Well, it is pathetic, but I like it.
How is, like, for F1, what is that doing anywhere near anything? You haven't seen it. I've seen it.
Is it bad?
It's shit. It's hogwash.
It's Hogwarts.
It's Hogwarts hogwash.
Wow.
It's like you... fuck the phone. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hey, is that... can I speak to Albus, please?
Yes, speaking...
Oh, hey, buddy, how's it going? Long time no speak.
Yeah, no, just, you know, hanging around, just looking at my pensive.
Yeah, it's Voldy.
All right, mate, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Listen, I wondered if, are you still on for the weekend?
Yeah, sure, like, you know, can't wait to hop on those bony little horse things, I can't remember their name, and fly off
Thestrals.
Into the... Thestrals. And sink a few jars of... Polyjuice potion.
Butterbeer? Oh, you want to take some polyjuice potion? Who do you want to turn into?
Yeah, we fly off on a Thestral, and a polyjuice potion, and I have a bit of you, and I become you, and then you become me, and then we go to Bone Town together.
Right.
It's like I get to fuck myself, and you get to fuck yourself.
Yeah, and I am looking forward to that, Albus. I particularly enjoy that part of our getaway. I actually just meant, though, are you still on for Saturday morning at the F1?
Dubai, you betcha.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Dubai, do buy a ticket, mate, because otherwise they won't let you in, you know. No, they'll let you in.
I just speak truth and enter.
That's a different franchise. But, you know, it's also speak friend and enter.
Mate? Sorry, hang on, what? I was just saying, like...
What's the Elvish word for friend? Go fuck yourself. Now, listen, I'm pretty excited. I've put some money down, actually. I was wondering if you might be able to give me the inside line on whether Harry or one of those other Gryffindor guys would be... they're in Mercedes, right?
Yeah, you got Harry and Ron in Mercedes, and then you got old Malfoy. He's in Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. With
Dean Anderson... He's in the Red Bull crew.
Who?
Dean? Isn't he
Dean?
Called Dean Anderson?
I don't think so.
Dean.
I think he's called Dean. Dean something else is
Dean.
Name, yeah.
And then there's an Irish lad who's also in Red Bull.
Seamus.
Yep, that's the one.
That's his name.
Yep, the twins.
Where's Cho Chang? Is Cho Chang in one of the cars? She's got to be in Hyundai or something, hasn't she? That's what J.K. Rowling would write her in.
Well, that's what she's done, yeah. She's set this up.
That's fucking disgusting, man.
I know.
Why would they have them in all cars that sound like the places that they maybe originally had family from?
It's a strange wizarding world we're in.
Have you ever thought maybe they should like ride some magical creatures instead of the F1 cars? That would be a bit more fun, wouldn't it? Why don't we have our own, like, you know how like we've got Quidditch, which is sort of our version of all team sports put together, but you know, has the popularity of Muggles like football, don't they? But we have Quidditch.
Yeah.
Why don't we have like a racing sport?
I mean, we're pretty close now. We've got them racing the cars. So then what? We like put some pixies in the...
Yeah?
In
Pesky Piskies?
Pesky Pixies. That's the spell, isn't it? Well, so what, you'd meld... Formula One racing with horse racing with swimming.
Yeah.
And throw in like Peloton.
Then it's like a quadathlon. Yeah. The magical quadathlon. I like that. That's really fun, actually.
You'd have to race around, but then also there'd also have to be one thing, like one really easy thing that you could just do to end any game.
Oh, kill a muggle.
Right.
Can we do that? I'd love to do that.
So you could have like a car. Well, the car would be like some weird living horse thing. And then you've got someone who drives it. Thestral. Let's do a thestral.
A thestral.
Thestral. And then you could have someone like with a kind of a sniper rifle on the back.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're whizzing around and you've got to go really fast to win the race. And it makes it hard to shoot the muggles. And the muggles are in the middle of the mound, and they're running around like, so it's like a Hunger Games battle royale thing.
And
you've got to win the race, but then also you've got to kill as many muggles as you like, and if you go too slow you lose, but if you go too fast you can't kill any muggles.
Right. I like that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Hey, why have we never talked about killer muggles before together? I feel like this could have solved all of our problems. You know how in the weekdays we're normally chasing each other around, trying to kill each other, and then before the weekend we drink polyjuice potion and then fuck each other, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that? And I have to say, I know I've said this before, but I love embodying you. And I love bodying you. You know, bit of both.
Yeah. So we did film, did we? Best film?
What do you want? Well, you didn't say what you want to win.
Well, it's boring. It was sentimental value. I was slagging off Formula One. Formula One is absolutely laughable. And never mind that. Frankenstein. One of the worst films I saw this year. And I love Guillermo del Toro. I don't love him. I really rate him as a filmmaker. I thought the Nightmare Alley flick, I loved that flick. Frankenstein was appalling. And so to see it on this list and knocking about the Oscars, it's just like, what? Yeah. You know, the whole thing makes the whole thing a big old joke. But yeah, Sentimental Value should win Best Film.
Let me ask you this. Do you think this is a stronger or weaker year than last year? And here's the nominees for last year. Okay. Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, Wicked.
A load stronger year than that. That year you just said fuck sucks ass.
Okay.
I mean, there's some good films on there, but that generally sucks ass.
Okay, this one is the year just before that year. Okay, Oppenheimer, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie. Everyone's talking about Barbie. The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. Oh, that was a fucking fat year, man. That year was such a good year. There were a few films on that list that I really didn't like at all. I think that was a really good year. I think that was far stronger than this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say far, but it's stronger.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's it. That's the show. That's the episode where we've said yes or no, think, hope.
Should we say also that we recorded this on the 15th of February? And the Oscars, I believe, are on the 15th of March. That's our run rate. We're generally about a month or so ahead of the release. So, you know, things could significantly change between now and then. And as you said, maybe if a film picks up some negative credola or a story comes out about somebody or whatever, there's worlds where we could have missed it. We recorded this on the 15th of February.
Yeah, and these are just what we think, what we hope. Doesn't matter. Who are we?
Just little old us. Hey?
We're nobodies. It was just an excuse to talk about movies.
What do you want? You want an Oscar? You want an Oscar? I'll throw a lasso up there. Bring it down for you, huh?
I'll take it.